message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Once again, it's our privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of The Message of Grace. This program is designed to help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God. We teach the program and present the program mostly and mainly for those who are students of the Word of God. If you're not a Bible student, we invite you to listen and to follow along with us as we go through some passages here in Romans chapter number 6, because even if you're not a student of the Word of God, you'll be able to see the difference between what God's Word teaches, actually says, as it's studied, as it's written. You'll be able to see clearly the difference between what the Bible actually says and what it is merely presumed to teach. There's much presumption about what God's Word teaches. There's much presumption about what God's Word ought to say. And yet there's very little real light and understanding of what it actually does say. Oftentimes you see preachers on the television, or you hear them on the radio, or you see them at church, and they sort of talk about the Bible, and maybe they'll read a verse of Scripture or something, and then they do like the fellow said one time. He said that they take a text and then depart far hence. And because, you know, you want to encourage people and you want to be for them, a lot of times people don't want to criticize them. And I'm not interested in criticizing anybody, really. I just want to look at what God's Word says. Let God's Word be the authority. And as it is the authority, then allow it to do to be the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So let's look at Romans chapter 6 together. And we invite you to, if you've got a Bible, get it. And maybe a notepad and a piece of paper and a pencil, and write the references down and study what the book actually says, especially if you can get it in front of you. Search and see. Don't take it from me. Let God's Word be your authority. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Now, we've been studying Romans 6 in our studies together week after week, and the issue in verse number 14 sort of capsulizes everything he said in the first 14 verses. Everybody likes to quote the verse, "For we're not under the law, but under grace." But that verse isn't talking about simply not going to church on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, and not offering animal sacrifices. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. That verse says something very specific about not being under the law, but being under grace, that often is not noticed. Notice the first half of the verse, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." You and I, as believers, have been set free from the dominion and the mastery of sin. How is that possible? "For you are not under the law, but you're under grace." If you live under the law system, now understand, the law is a performance system. It is a system of conditional blessings based upon your performance. In other words, if you want to get the blessing, then you have to perform and live up to the standard. If you fail to perform, you don't get the blessing, you get a punishment. Grace is the opposite. Grace is a system of unconditional blessings based on the gift, the free gift principle. That is, grace takes the blessing, and gives it to you as a free gift, and if the gift is free, then you can't work for it. If it's a free gift, someone gives you a gift and gives it to you because they love you and want you to have it, and then you take your billfold out and try to pay for it, what did you do? You insulted them. You changed the gift from a gift to something that you purchased. You see, if it's a gift, you can't pay for it. You understand that. Grace is the gift, the free gift principle. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And when Paul says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. Now, the strength of sin is the law, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to see that in Romans 7. So he doesn't put you under a performance system where you have to perform to meet the standard, because that gives sin strength in your life. Why? Because you can't keep the law. You fail. And what the law does is point out your failures. It's like a little man running behind you and saying, sinner, sinner, fail, sin, problem, mistake. So he says he doesn't put you under that kind of system. He puts you under a system where he gives to you as a free gift the blessings. You don't have to strive for them. He gives them to you by his grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And it's grace that sets us free from the dominion of sin. That's why it goes on to say in verse 15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not? Don't you know? There's that thing again. You got to have an understanding and a knowledge. Know you not that that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? He goes on, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants unto uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Well, look at your life as an unsaved person. What fruit did you have? Well, everything that the unsaved life brought forth is stuff you're ashamed of. Why in the world would you want to go out and do that again anymore? You're free from that. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God and have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. There's been a complete change in your life. Just go live like who you are, is what he's saying. And that's the key to the Christian life, is just go live like who you are. That's why he says back in verse 11, Romans 6, 11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Why? Because God has made you free from sin. When Jesus Christ died at the cross of Calvary, when he died there, he died to set you free from sin. His death put away sin. He literally put it away by the sacrifice of himself and was raised again over here back to life in order that he can give you his life. There is freedom from sin here, and then there's newness of life for us here. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God Almighty takes you out of your old self and puts you into the Lord Jesus Christ over here, and in living union with him, his life becomes your life, and the grace of God, all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Calvary, becomes yours. And it's as you put your faith, the facts in here of Calvary, the facts of what God has done for you when Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, your faith, reckon ye yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin. Consider, let your faith count the facts of Calvary, the reality. And when it's your faith resting in the facts of Calvary that allows the Holy Spirit the freedom to bring the truths of that finished work of the cross into your life, and it's where the fruit of righteousness, the fruit in your Christian life comes from. The Christian life is the fruit of righteousness. You have this righteous position and identity in Christ here. Your faith, resting in the truths of what God did for you when Christ died and was buried and rose again, the cross work, the finished work of Christ at Calvary, your faith resting in that finished work and in the reality of his resurrection life, your faith resting in the truths of God's Word allows God the Holy Spirit the liberty to take the truth of that finished work, the reality of that finished work, the reality of this identification that you have in Christ, and bring forth that fruit of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise and glory of God. You see, the Christian life is not a life of external religious activity that you go out. It's not external religious legalism. It's not some external activity. It's the fruit of God's Word resting inside, that resides inside of you, bringing forth fruit in your bodies, performing the good works. Now, when he says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, he's literally saying you need to have a faith walk. You need to have faith in the facts that God says this is the reality in your life, and your faith resting and walking in the light of who God has made you in Christ. Now, somebody might say, and it's a good question, why is it that you need to have, why does it need to be by faith? Well, Romans chapter 5, verse number 2. Romans chapter 5, verse number 2. This mental attitude of faith, and it's an important thing to understand. That's how you have access into grace. The only response that grace will accept is faith. The only way to put grace into action in your life is for your faith to rest on the facts of God's Word. The facts as they are revealed in the Word of God. When your faith rests on the facts of God's Word, then grace is free to empower you to bring forth the fruits over there. You'll never get the fruit. See, what happens is we focus over here on the externals. We focus on the end result out here, and we try to produce the fruit. Religion seeks to produce the fruit by some other way than faith resting in the facts. You have to learn the facts of the Word of God. That's what we do week after week here. We try to teach you the truth of God's Word so your faith can rest in those facts. Your faith resting in the truth of God's Word, internalizing God's Word, storing up God's Word in your heart, you see, allows the Spirit of God to strengthen you in the inner man. And that allows God's grace then to bring forth the fruit, work His life out through your bodies of flesh for His glory. Romans 5, verse number 2, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand. How can you access this grace? Here is this position that God has given you in His grace. Here is this new identity that you have in Christ as a new creature. How can you access that? That word access is a great word, especially today. If you have a computer and you have information stored in the memory of the computer on your hard drive, you have to access that information in order to utilize it. I turn on my computer, and I have a word processing program in my computer. I have to access that word processing program. I have to type in a command code that brings that information off the storage disk into the memory of the computer and accesses it and interfaces with it. I have information on a disk. I put it in. The computer has to access it. Accessing it means to gain the ability to use it. How can you access, gain the ability to put that grace to work? How can you have all that God has done for you in Christ go to work in your life? Folks, the verse tells you, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You see, it's by faith that grace is made operative. That's why it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. The Christian life begins internally as our faith rests in the facts of the Word of God, rightly divided, that then it lives out through us. It's His Spirit working through His Word inside of us. We're strengthened in the inner man by the Word of God. It's the Word of God resident in us, working out through us. It's God that works in you through His Word, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Without the indwelling Word of God, used by the indwelling Spirit of God, and Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And you need to understand that the Word of God is the means whereby the Spirit of God empowers the child of God. It's the Word of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The way the life of Jesus, the way the Holy Spirit of God makes the life of Jesus Christ manifest in the believer is as you by faith rest in the Word of God. For it is the Word of God that the Spirit of God uses to produce and to demonstrate the life of Christ. That's why faith is the issue. Now come with me to James chapter number 1, if you will. And I want you to see a contrast in this with regard to where sin comes from in life. Sin starts in the mind. Folks, that's faith is a mental attitude. It's the opposite of the attitude that brings forth. When you're positive toward the sound doctrine of God's Word, that's faith. When you are negative toward the doctrine in God's Word, that's unbelief. When you have positive volition toward the sound doctrine in God's Word, that brings forth fruits unto righteousness. When you have a negative volition toward the sound doctrine in God's Word, that brings forth fruit unto death. Okay? James chapter 1, very, very interesting passage about where sinful habits and sinful actions begin in a person's life. James chapter 1, verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The first issue there, and this in theology is called the doctrine of peccability. That is the doctrine of sin. And the first issue there is the issue of presentation. Presentation. A man is drawn away of his own lust. That is, there is a presentation of a problem. The temptation is presented, and attention is called to it. Something could be there, but if you're never paying attention to it, you never notice it. It isn't just being in the presence of sinful activity and temptation that's the problem. It's noticing it. There's the drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That has to do with illumination. In other words, not only is the presentation there, not only are you aware that it's there, but you begin to think about it and consider, you know about it, you know that the opportunity is there. Then when lust hath conceived. Now that next step there is the thing. When lust is conceived, that is, you begin to consider and debate about whether or not you ought to do it or not. Now, when you get there, that's where sin is going to start. Folks, you can have it, you can be in the presence of evil, and you can be aware that evil is around you and the opportunity is there. It's when you in your mind start considering the possibility of participating in it that the downfall starts. That's why he says when lust is conceived, that is, when it has its embryonic beginning, it brings forth death. It brings forth. Now you've made a decision. Now you're going to do it. Now you've made the choice. It brings forth sin. There's the act. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. There's the judgment. There's the result. That's what sin always ends in. Right here, these two things right there, that's where sin starts. Folks, sin doesn't start in the act. That's the fruit. The act is the fruit. Where sin began was when you had knowledge of it. The information is there. and then you start thinking about, well, maybe I'll do it, and then you make a choice. You see, where sin starts and where it has its beginning, where it's conceived, is in the debate and in the decision. And every sin you ever commit starts in your thinking process. Sinful actions, sinful habits, all have their source in bad thinking. Now, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the renewing of your mind, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by what God's done for you in Christ, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you by what God's done for you, that you just live your life like who you are. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Here comes the fruit. How? By the renewing of your mind. Right there. Go back here in your thinking process and have a renewed mind. That is, think. Faith. It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Your heart is the mentality, the thinking process of your soul. Think like the doctrine. Think like the reality that God says He has accomplished for you in Christ. Think about life like a child of God would think about it, on the basis of the doctrine, and the fruit comes. You see, what grace teaches you, if you come over to Titus chapter number 2, what grace teaches you is who you are in Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What does grace teach us? Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Just don't have any regard for this stuff. Forget about it. Let the time you spent as an unsaved person suffice for the time you're enticed by that. Put this information in your mind. Take the old thinking processes out, put the new processes in. The old process was in the presence of a temptation. It was aware the temptation was there, and it began to debate. What did it do? It began to debate how to go about accomplishing these things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. The eye saw it. The flesh desired it. Pride said, you deserve it. You began to debate about how to do it, made a decision to do it. What does faith do? Faith has the presentation, the illumination. When the debate comes, instead of debating about it, faith says, that is wrong. That is inappropriate. That is out of place and out of character. That is contrary to who I am. And so the process is stopped. The decision is never made to do it. The decision is made to live like who you are based on faith in what God says. Now, when godly living... teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live life soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's how a believer lives. That's how grace teaches you to live. Soberly, righteously, godly. That has to do soberly, sober-minded. You understand what's going on in life. Righteously, you relate rightly to others. And godly, you're following... The proper program that God has set forth. Grace produces that. You're rightly related with yourself. Great thing today is to have a good self-image. Did you know? It's a strange thing to me. It's an interesting thing. I've worked in rescue missions, mental wards, jails, street corners, local churches. I've worked with gangs on the street. I've done all kind of ministry through the years. Worked on college campuses. I pastor a church in the second largest city in America, the city of Chicago. And we have all kind of ministry there. And you know what I find? I find that I go into a penitentiary or into a jail and meet men there, and you know what kind of problems? When you get down to the bottom of it, it's an identity problem. I talk to kids in gangs, and you talk to kids in gangs, and it's a belonging problem. It's an identity problem. I talk to mom and dad on the job. You know, a man defines himself by his job and a woman by her job or her family. It's an identity problem. Understanding who you are. Great thing today about having, we need a good self-image. No, you don't need a good self-image, not you. But why, friend, sinners can't have good self-images. Sinners need to have an understanding of who they are. What you need is a proper self-image. You need to understand who God has made you in Christ. Because, see, if you get a good picture of who you are, it can be discouraging to you. But you see who God made you in Christ, that's what you need. And the only way to have that's by faith. And that's what grace focuses on, is who God has made you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key. That's what grace would have you focus on as you walk by faith. The only place you're going to find out who God made you in Christ is in the Word of God. Religion isn't going to tell you. The world isn't going to believe it. But God's Word sets it forth. That's why we rightly divide the Word of truth. That's why we go to Romans to Philemon. Because that's where God sets forth the truth of who we are in Christ. And as your faith rests on an understanding of who God has made you in Christ, then that truth will go to work in your life and transform you and bring forth the fruit which is unto the praise and glory of God, because it's produced by God's grace and for God's glory. That's what grace teaches. That's the process. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, How Grace Teaches. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 270. That's tape offer number 270. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until next time for another Message of Grace.